For those of you that don't know me, I'm Laura. My husband Tom and I, who was just here delivering me my tea, have been coming to the church for about 25 years. I'm currently on staff. I am the children's director, and so I oversee everything children's ministry. And then I also coordinate this mom's group. So we have four kids, ranging from 38 to 28, four grandbabies, ranging from 8 to 1.5, and a new one on the way. So life is busy and fun, and just feel really grateful to get to be here and share life with you guys. So the kids staff and I went to a conference in Orlando a couple weeks ago, and I went to a breakout about spiritual disciplines with the intention of like, okay, how can I come alongside our families at church and help them to have spiritual disciplines at home? But the thing that like kind of rocked my world in that conference was the stats about what's happening in families and what's happening in life. And so I'm just going to talk for a few minutes about connection, because connection's so important. God made us to be in unity with each other, but to be in unity with him first. So a connection with God is so great, and you have to be connected to your husband. You should be. You don't have to be, but you really should be connected to your husband. But I'm really going to predominantly be talking about your children and things that we do and things that we don't do and what we can do better and what we can learn about ourselves to be a better, to foster connection in our kids. Because when right now they're all babies, one day they're going to be middle schoolers and they're going to be high schoolers and they're going to be adults. And you want them to know that you're a safe space. And that starts right now in how you're handling circumstances and things that are happening in your home. So connection starts with listening. You have to be a good listener in order to be connected to somebody. It's always good to acknowledge your child's feelings and show them you understand, and that reassuring them that you're there to help. So when your kids come to you, you want to be an open door for them so that they know that they're not going to be judged or shamed or criticized for having questions or wanting knowledge on things. And so I'm just going to throw in a couple personal stories just for kicks and giggles. So I grew up, and I think generationally this has always been handled differently, and it always a lot plays in with temperament, right? What your temperament is, what your family experience is, and how you do things. So nobody in this room should all be doing things exactly the same. Just saying that. These are all just thoughts. Take what works for you. Discard what doesn't. But I grew up in a home where my mom felt very connected to us. And her idea of connection was she participated in everything we did. So I was on dance team in high school, and I don't know if we didn't know it because we were poor or there just didn't exist, but there wasn't organized sports when I was young like there is today. But once I got into high school, we had a yearly performance in San Jose, my mom would load up the car, take my brother and sister, come to San Jose and watch me perform, which was super great. Very connected in that physical realm of seeing her supporting me. Where we weren't connected is, I'll tell this story because it just came to my mind. Where we weren't connected is I can remember being in fifth grade and coming home, and you know, in fifth grade, if you don't remember and you have kids coming up, you get the talk about your body, right? And what happens and when things are gonna happen and what it looks like. And the person who gave our talk was like, go home and talk to your mom, ask her questions, because you're probably gonna start your period when they do, and it's gonna be, you know, get some information. And I can remember going home and asking my mom, saying, hey, I learned about this in school today. Like, when did you da-da-da-da-da? And she was like, we do not talk about those kinds of things. No, we're not going to talk about that. And what it did for me is it showed me that my mom wasn't safe. I mean, she's, and still to this day, I love her dearly. She lives next door in the Seville, the senior living. But I can't come to her with things because I'm shut down. So we have like her idea, her thought, even I think today she would say, very, very, very connected to Laura. And I would say, yes and no. right? And so as I was growing up and doing things and became a mom, I don't know if anybody, you don't have to raise your hands because, you know, you don't want to single anybody out. But I chose, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do what my mom did. I want to do things differently, right? Because I don't want my kids to feel like they can't ask me a question that I'm not willing to answer. We just didn't talk about things, anything in our family. My dad left when I was 9. I mean, to this day, I'm 60, so 51 years, cannot utter his name, right? Nobody wants to create that dynamic with your kids. And I don't think it, my mom didn't do it intentionally. It was survival. She was surviving. She was doing the best she could with what she knew and what she had. I held it against her for a long time, but I have like grown and matured in my walk with the Lord and have decided that she did the best she could. I don't have any angst with her. So we want to make sure that we're trying to see things from our kids' perspective. Okay, we're going to do a fun little activity. I want you to just like pick somebody at your table, like go in groups of two or a group of three if there's not an extra one. I'm just going to have you do a little connecting exercise. So would you answer this with your partner? Would you rather have Goldfish crackers or Reese's peanut butter cups? And why? Okay, I'm going to ask another question, and maybe two, we'll see. Would you rather participate in a hands-on activity, something physical, or something more sedate, like a story time or reading or something like that? What activity more speaks to your heart? Okay, I'm going to do one more just because it's so fun watching you guys talk and laugh out there. Are you a last-minute kind of gal, or do you have an over-planned, very regimented schedule? So just as an example, you guys just answered three questions in 3 minutes. Who learned something new about the person they were talking to? Right? So that took minutes of our time. And what I'm saying is we need to spend more time listening to our kids, more time spending time with them, engaging with them in a connected way that's not this all the time, right? So I gave you guys handouts. This is the catalyst of why I'm here right now. Because this just made me so sad to see what these stats are. Across recent surveys, a typical American family spends 6 hours and 17 minutes per week together, less than an hour a day on average. It's not very much time. Families reported only 37 minutes of quality time together per day during the week. 75% of the total time parents spend with their children over a lifetime occurs by the time they're 12. Let that sink in for a second. These are the moments that you're getting the most time with your kids. The average family has 5 to 10 internet-connected devices in their home. Many households are closer to 10-plus when you count phones, tablets, TVs, watches, speakers, gaming consoles. The average U.S. home now has more screens than people. The average family spends less than 60 minutes a day together while multitasking or looking at screens. So I just want you to have these numbers in front of you. This isn't everybody. This is like a Barna Institute study. And so I just want us to be mindful. There's more. I'm going to go through them. But I just want us to be mindful about screens, right? I mean, I know my phone is attached to my hip all the time. I didn't have that when I was a young mom. I got my cell phone, my first phone, when my son was 16 and driving. So I didn't have the dynamic that you guys have with them right now. But I know that they're addicting, and I know that they take time, and I know that they take our eyes away from our babies and our husbands and God. And so I'm not saying they're necessary. This isn't like the phone is the devil. It's not the devil. But it's about managing your time and what you're going to do with it. And so I'm going to go into more detail on this in a little bit. But when you're doing something with your kids, man, put it down for 5 minutes. Even if you did that for 5 minutes a day and gave them your eyeballs and your intentional time, You're making an impact and showing them that you care about them. Okay, the next sad stats. Parents check their phones 80 to 100 times per day, often unintentionally. I know I do that. Anybody else want to confess up to like how often we're, I mean, I'm touching it all the time to look at the time, let alone opening it and doing stuff to it. The average working parent feels like they're on duty 14 to 16 hours a day when work, home tasks, and caregiving are combined. Parents report being mentally distracted during family time over half the time, even when they're physically present. It's pretty significant. I mean, I worked at the church. I stopped in, I think, 13, so 15 years ago. I worked at the church as the kids director, and I stepped out because of this, because God was just really touching my heart, and I thought I was going to do this job forever. I loved it so much, but God was really touching my heart. My girls were in high school. They were a junior and senior, and I just really felt a call to be home because I was working, and I'd go to I was my mom. Oh, gosh, I just said it. I just saw it for the first time. I was my mom. I was at tennis matches, but I had my computer on my lap, and I was multitasking and working. And God was like, stop, slow down, and be there. And it was such a good thing for me, and God knew that I needed to be home for other reasons. But families say their schedules are more crowded now than 5 years ago, not less, despite technology being created to save more time. The average parent has fewer than 10 meaningful conversations per week with their child. That's a little over once a day. 1 in 3 families eat dinner together regularly during the week. I am a huge proponent, I mean, everybody just to do what works for them, of family meal time. It's so important. I actually asked my kids, well, 3 of them, I couldn't get hold of one of them, my son, surprisingly. I called them yesterday, and I was like, hey, I'm going to talk about being connected, and I'm just curious. Is there anything that you thought we did well or that we didn't do well? Because I'm going to talk, and I just want to have some examples. And surprisingly, 3 of them said mealtime. And we used to go to my in-law's house every Sunday for dinner. Every Sunday without fail. And those memories for them had created such a great bond with their grandparents as well that was lifelong. They're both gone now, but it was such a pivotal thing for them. Most parents say they want intentional connection, but they're overwhelmed and don't know where to start, right? We're already so busy. Our days are filled. I'm a high achieving. I mean, I can get a lot done in a day. So we have to be careful to make sure that we're making it a priority and time. These babies are a gift from God for you. And I know every mom, no mom doesn't want to do their best. You're all doing your best. But I think sometimes you have to take a step back and say, what am I doing that's good but not best, and where do I need to make a pivot, right? So here's some, I found this on the internet, this wasn't part of the talk, but some habits to help you, some ideas of things that you could possibly do. You don't have to do all of them. Later on it says something about 1% pivot, right? Don't take all 10 of these and say, I'm going to do all of these tomorrow, because you probably won't. So pick one thing, and even if it's not on this list, pick a different thing that you're like, I know I can commit to this. Physical connection, it takes, and it was mostly talking about hugs, but like patting your back, somehow touching your children. They need 4 a day just to survive. Like babies in orphanages back when I was younger, they used to talk about they were dying because they weren't being touched. 8 just to maintain, and 12 for growth. And I know I'm not this way because I'm super touchy, if any of you know me, but I have 2 kids that aren't very touchy. And I know that for them, like by the end of the day, they're like, my kid has just mauled me all day long and I'm done. But that's part of their development and their growth. And they need it. And this isn't part of the talk, but I'm just going to say it because I felt the Lord telling me to. Don't forget to touch your husband, ladies, right? You gotta be giving your husband time, and he needs attention too. He needs physical attention, and he needs your connection and your eyes just as much as your kids, if not more, because you're gonna be alone with him one day without these kids. Play, laughter. Make something that might be hard. You can make it silly. You can make it fun. You can make it a game. You can laugh and talk. My kids, when I asked, one of them was like, every time we were driving, we had so much fun in the car. I go, what did we do? She goes, we were either singing really loud to music, or we were playing silly games, or we were just talking about our day. Like somewhere I thought there was a stat in here about how much you're in your car. You're in your car a lot. Ladies, I mean, by the time we're coming and going and dropping off and doing whatever, you're spending a lot of time in your car. Utilize it for good. Don't make that a time where it's like, I'm now going to like take my 10-minute respite and get away from all of you. Use that to have conversations with your kids. Melanie was like, every Sunday after church, when we were on our way home from church, you were like, what did you learn today? What can we do? How can we foster that activity or in our lives? So turn off technology. I would strongly encourage you to spend at least 15 minutes a day with your phone set down with your kids. And it sounds like a lot, but it's really not that much, and that's a very doable thing to do. And I would say, I'm putting my phone away. Have a place where you put it and give your kid 10 to 15 minutes of your eyes, following them around, playing with them, interacting with them. I think sometimes, I'm guilty because I have grandkids and I do this too, so I'm not saying I do this perfectly, trust me. I mean, when I was doing this, I was like, oh, I've kind of done that with the grandkids even, like need to like readjust myself. You know, they'll be doing something and I'm checking messages on my phone, or I'm looking at Instagram, or I'm looking at whatever. Make the time to put it away. That's always going to be there. The technology's going to be there. It's not going to go away. But your kids are going to grow. I thought this was a good one. Some kids have a hard time with transitions. And so this was saying connect before transition. So if we're playing and now I'm going to ask you to pick up, or we're home and now we're going to go out and go do swim lessons or go to church or do whatever, it said like, get right in their little eyes and make eye contact with them and look in their face and say their name and say, let's go right into, who can beat me to the car? You know what I mean? Make it so that, this is not every time you get in the car, ladies. Like we're not, not every time, obviously. That's ridiculous. But sometimes we need to do things to mix it up and to encourage them to like do what we need to do without the constant like, I've said it seven times. And my sweet Melanie was like the slowest moving child on the planet. My sister came once when we were gone in Cuba for 4 days and watched my kids. And I was like, I got to warn you, getting Melanie to school, man, rough. It's rough. She goes, oh, Michaela's slow. It can't be that bad. I got back and she was like, holy cow. It took her 10 minutes to get her shoes on. I was like, yes, I know. It was rough. Sometimes it just is. Sometimes it's just rough. One-on-one time, 10 minutes a day, one-on-one time. I know when you're like, oh, I've got 3, 4, 5 kids, that's an hour of your time or whatever, but they need your one-on-one time. The way I spent a good portion of one-on-one time with my kids was at bedtime. I spent alone time with each child, and I had 4, and there's a 10-year age difference. And I always started with the youngest because she obviously needed to get in bed before the older ones. And then went to the next one, the next one, the next one. I read books to my kids until they were in almost 9th grade. And by the time they were in middle school, we were reading devotionals or reading something scripturally like that. And that's how we were ending our day. I'd read something with them. We would chat about their day. I would be present for them, be available, and we'd pray together. And so I just think it's a nice habit of giving them that time. I know it's hard, but you're going to do what's important to you. And so pick the things that are important. Again, don't try to do all of these. This is hard. Okay, you guys ready? Got your seatbelts on? Welcome emotions. Again, I had a kid, Christina, very big emotions. Very big emotions. Her son also has them, so it's funny how God works. But what we really need to do is make sure that we have compassion with those emotions and that we're not triggered. Because it's so easy when you're mauled for the fifth time or asked the same question over and over again to like let the little beast inside of us come out. But that's not going to help the situation. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help them. So just like, again, take a deep breath. Count to 3, count to 50, I don't know, count to whatever you need to calm down. Because underneath whatever it is that they've got going on, there's fear, there's vulnerability, there's something else that's not, it's not always just the big emotion, there's something underlying. And can you be available to like get down to the bottom of what that is? You're the person they trust more than anybody else. So you're gonna get the good, the bad, and the most ugly more than anybody else is gonna get it because you're their person. Listen and empathizing. So, Melanie was mean to me at school today, Mom. Well, what did, you know, instead of like, what did you do? What happened? Da, 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 da. Oh, I hear that. I hear she was mean to you? That sounds really hard. I'm sorry you had to go through that. Do you wanna tell me more about it? I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, we jump in with so many questions because we want details and we want answers and we want to help. But sometimes people just need to say what's going on and we just need to be able to hear it. Slow down. Don't rush your schedule. We want to savor these moments because all we have is this moment today. We're not guaranteed another moment. So make the most of whatever moment it is that you have right now. I thought this was funny and cute when they said it, so I wasn't going to say it, but I am. Like when they were talking about that, they were like, gave examples, like when your kids are washing their hands, put your hands in the water with them and like just really enjoy and like play with the water. And when you're making smoothies, let them smell the strawberries. Like and just engage with them in ways that we're not necessarily trained or think about engaging with them. Again, bedtime snuggles and chats. If you want to do that and make it a priority, you got to start bedtime earlier because let me tell you, it takes longer than you think it's going to take, always. It just does. Show up. I mean, I would say that's probably, for me, probably one of the most important. You just have to show up and you have to be present. Don't be partially present. They sense that, they know that, and what you're doing, this is your training ground. Because again, these kids are gonna get older and they're gonna have bigger problems and they're gonna have things going on where they need a partner to come alongside them and you want it to be you. You don't want it to be their friends. You don't want it to be somebody else. You want them to come to you with their problems. So you wanna let them know that you're safe. Also, we need to apologize more. I know I did learn this again. My poor mom, she's taking a beating today. I do love her. But my mom had a really rough life from the minute she was born. Really difficult life. And it played out in how she interacted with us. And so it seems like a little bit of an exaggeration. So I'm gonna tell you, it's probably an exaggeration, but I cannot recall a time when my mom has apologized for anything. Not once. And most of the time, I'm the brunt of her anger, and so I get disowned quite regularly, my friends can tell you, for hurting her feelings, and sometimes I'm not even the person that says something. It might be one of my kids, it might be my sister, but somehow I'm the person that apparently she feels safe with. And then she will disown me for, I don't know, 2 weeks. I think the longest was maybe a year where she literally will not have any communication with me because I've hurt her feelings, but she won't tell me what, and I can't fix it because she won't tell me, and then she forgets, and then she goes, all right, I guess I'm over it. I'll talk to you again. So we don't want to do that, right? So everybody has a moment. I've lost it with my kids. I can remember when they were little and fighting in the car, and pulling over on the side of the road on Los Maris. And I just literally stopped the car and got out of the car because I was just losing my mind. I don't even remember what it was over. So we all have it. We all have the moments. Nobody's perfect. We have our moments where we lose it. When you lose it, you've got to own it, right? Just have to go back. It's the way it was described here is rupture. You've ruptured it, and now you have to repair it. It's like a tire. Think about a tire. Tire works when it's full and there's no pressure points and there's no holes in it. The second it's ruptured, it doesn't work the same. So we have to be good apologizers. What that does is it creates an environment for your kids where you're going to minimize their shame. Let's do it. I have, like, my whole life lived with a lot of shame. And it's been something I've really, really had to work on through my walk with the Lord and through a lot of just relinquishing things because of how I perceive myself, because of what I was told or not told as a child for some of it. And some of it I've just, held on to a little too tight. So, All right, we're going to take a little break, fun break. I want everybody to, I just told you not to use your phones, but I'm going to tell you to pick up your phone. Everybody pick up your phone and just go into notes or something. And I want you to pick up to 5 emojis that describe your family right now. Okay, once you're ready, let's pick a different partner so we're connecting with somebody different. Look at the person on the other side of you and explain what your emojis are and why. We'll give you just a couple minutes. Okay, ladies, you can save that for, if you didn't finish, save it for once I'm done here in just a couple minutes and you guys can finish that up. George Barna, who does all of the stats and surveys, said the first one to a child's heart wins. Get there first. Right? First one to the kid's heart wins. Do you want to be the person that wins your kid's heart, or do you want somebody else to be? So here's some barriers. Distraction. Who's distracted? I mean, just basic general life, right? Is your laundry ever done at your house? Are your dishes ever done? I mean, just there's things that just constantly always have to happen. Our schedules, we have very full schedules. Lack of confidence. Maybe you had a parent that didn't know how to do this and you don't know how to do it. Shame. Maybe you were shamed as a kid and you're just not sure, you feel unsure. Comparison is the thief of joy, right? Are we comparing ourselves? Don't compare yourselves to me. Everybody was created uniquely and individually by our great creator God. And you all have gifts and you all have talents and you all have positive attributes about you. And for some of us, it's hard to see them. Find somebody that can come alongside you and love you and encourage you in who you are as a child of Christ. Outsource. We always want to outsource to experts. I'm not going to spend time with the Bible with my kid at home because they're getting it at church 3 days a week. I'm not going to go kick a ball with my kid because they have soccer 3 days a week. It's very like we rely a lot on other people, which is not a bad thing, but don't cut yourself off from it entirely. Outsourcing is not a bad thing. It's good, right? I'm not a soccer player. I couldn't have taught my kids how to play soccer, but I could go out there and play with them and engage with them. Maybe we're just not sure where to start. And again, that's where it's like, pick one thing and work on that. Where it is. Here's my little note about 2 degrees. It was 2-degree strategy. I fibbed earlier. Don't overhaul everything. You just have to make a pivot by 2 degrees. Big ships turn slow. 2 degrees over time changes your destination. It doesn't take reinventing the wheel. Just start small. It's about starting small and staying consistent. And celebrate your progress, right? So say I'm gonna make a commitment to spend quality time with each one of my kids individually before bed. And I do it three nights in a row, and the fourth night, soccer and da-da-da-da and gymnastics and da-da-da-da and parents and in-laws and phone calls. That's okay. But you can celebrate you did it four times or two times or one time. Don't beat yourselves up. So we're going to start where you are. Where are you? What do you guys do? Who eats meals together? I mean, even if you're in the car eating, you're eating a meal together, right? Who drives their kids to school or practice, or you're driving to Target? Whose kids go to bed every night? I hope your kids all go to bed every night. I want you to redeem the time you have. It might be awkward. And this was the one positive thing I took out of the MOPS thing that we didn't use this year about the making it awkward. Mandy told a story about a situation where it was like going to be awkward to step into something because it had never happened. And it's awkward the first time. It might be awkward up to, depending on you. I mean, I have a kid who's a slow learner. It probably would have taken her 30 times. It's awkwardness is not a bad thing. Let it be awkward. Eventually, it becomes a habit, and it becomes something that, if it's important to you, it becomes something that you choose to do. The focus here is connection. Want your kids to want you to be their person. Okay, so here we are. This is your other take home, I think, right? Is this the other one I gave you, the car rides, the dinner tables? This one? Did I give you guys this one too? Oh, did I give you the barriers? Okay. So yeah, so it's just all those things that I just listed. Pick one and just make sure, and it doesn't have to even be every day. If you're starting from zero and you do one thing, you've made progress, right? Pick one and do it. Okay, if we're gonna have a family dinner one night a week, that's the only night we can do it. Then make it valuable. Make it a time where you're talking and having conversation and you're modeling them for them what a family dinner looks like. And the rest of this, I think, is all my spiritual stuff that I just didn't get to. So, but the bottom line is Christ, right? You ladies, are all capable of great things because of Christ. And when we put Christ first, then these things can fall into place because we've put it in the correct order. So, I mean, today I really focused on your kids, but that does not mean that they usurp your husbands. I'm a very big advocate of marriage. Jesus, your husband, your kids. It's got to be in that order. And if it's not, then you need to start making little adjustments in your life to put it in the correct order, whatever that looks like for you. If you're not sure, that's why we have mentor moms at every single table to come alongside you and encourage you and equip you and love on you. Anyway, I just pray and hope that something spoke to some of you and that you can take something away and put something into practice and that we cannot be a statistic for our kids and what their futures look like. So thanks.